Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. This week's message is titled, Uniting in Christ. It was recorded during Alumni and Friends Weekend at Great Lakes Christian High School. Thank you to both Dons, Lawrence, Martin, Brad, Murray, Josh, and the GL Chorus for being part of the service. Happy anniversary this week to John and Connie. The scripture reading is Galatians 3, 26-29. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you so much for being with us. We've had a great weekend. It was fantastic to see people we haven't seen for years and years, but it was a great time. So thank you for being part of all of this. Going back 50 years, we had a lot of great teachers and mentioning their names, but I remember on one occasion we were going over to, and I'm not sure that I'm going to say this properly, was it the SBM building or the FBM building, whatever that was called over there? And Roy Merritt was teaching us a Bible, and it was from Batzel Barrett Baxter, which is the coolest name ever, Batzel Barrett Baxter's book, I Believe Because. And so some of us thought we were, you know, we knew the Bible pretty well. There was, you know, Becky and you know, probably Ruthie and a few other people, Daryl Baker, who was, all these people, we just thought, well, this is pretty cool, figuring things out. But as he was teaching us, we were thinking, what about this? If Batzel Barrett Baxter married Meredith Baxter Burney, what would her name be? So wouldn't it be Batzel Barrett Baxter Bernie Baxter, or would it be Batzel Barrett Baxter Bernie Baxter? I think I said it twice. These were the deep penetrating questions we had in grade 13. And I'm still not, I don't have answers for any of those things. Anyway, just wanted to share a couple of thoughts today regarding all of us coming together, uniting in Christ, even though we don't see each other very often. We are brothers and sisters, and how wonderful it is to just chat for a little while and pick it up again next year whenever we possibly can. It's interesting to me to note that the first New Testament book that was written wasn't Matthew, and it wasn't Mark, and it wasn't Luke, and it wasn't John. The first New Testament book that was written was the book of Galatians. And it makes sense. Because how in the world do we get two diametrically opposed cultures to unite as one in Christ and enjoy it? For many of the Jewish people of that day, they followed rules and regulations from morning until the end of the day. They had regulations, they had customs, it was all part of their life. And grace, the word grace, wasn't heard very often. Forgiveness wasn't a word. It was rather foreign to them. And if Christians couldn't agree on just about anything, how in the world will the church ever exist? Well, we're here. So it has existed. But if Christians can't agree, we need to come together as one. So the Apostle Paul suggests that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the unifying factor. Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, and his freedom for all of us. And 2,000 years later, it's still our unifying factor. Jesus is our unifying factor. And Paul reminds us, maybe we could even say commands us, that we're not justified by observing the old law, but rather by our faith in Jesus. And in our baptism, we've been crucified with Christ, and Christ now lives in us. And I wonder, when was the last time we thought of that? That Christ is living in us. We're busy people, and we know that he is, but have you ever taken the opportunity to just sit down and talk to Jesus? Do you think he will hear you? Of course. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You are my child. And for those of us that have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, we listen to them. He listens to us. So we love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. And he promises to be with us. In the love chapter in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 13, probably one of the scriptures that are read more often than any other, says, if we don't have love, we are truly missing out. Because love is patient, kind. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It rejoices with the truth. Love protects. Love trusts. Love hopes. And love perseveres. It doesn't end. So then Paul reminds us of this never failing, ever failing love for all of us. I remember one time when our youngest daughter, who's now a mom, daughter Carly, we were living in Sunridge, and it was one of those beautiful, warm evenings that turned into night. And she was somewhat restless, and Barb had been working along with her all day long, and so she went to sleep, and I said, when she wakes up at midnight or whatever, I'll go ahead and take her outside, and it's a beautiful evening, and I'll feed her the bottle and so forth. And it was one of those magical evenings. Nothing special. I'm not going to say anything special, but I will remember it, and I can still feel it for the rest of my life. It was a beautiful, beautiful, dark evening night. And insects and little critters in Sunridge, Ontario, you could hear them. And I was feeding her the bottle, and she stopped. And she just turned and looked up at me, and she smiled. She loved me. She was secure with me. She knew that I would never hurt her in any way, but love her forever. And that's God's love for us. If you ever get the opportunity when you're by yourself out in the country or somewhere where it's quiet, and just listen to God's love for us. We forget it. It's too busy. But we have to remember that he says his love, God's love, never fails. It's wonderful that we've gathered together this weekend, sharing stories and joys. Some sadness because people have passed away, but their memory will be with us forever and ever. And so we look at these wonderful attributes of Scripture, love, joy, peace, and so forth. The word joy is pretty unique. In the Old Testament, the temple of the Lord had been destroyed, as you remember, multiple times. And finally, when it was rebuilt, all the people rejoiced. And how do you picture that? Like, did they just gather around and rejoice? It wasn't too many years ago, Barb and I were moving to a different place, different city, and you're looking around and that's a beautiful home, but it's busy here, or I'm not sure about all this, but when you find it, when you find, this is the place where we're going to be, it's like The weight is off. The weight is off. And I never really thought about it before, but when it says, God says, I'll love you forever, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'm always with you. We were looking at houses, and I don't think I asked the question, God, what house do you want us to live in? And he always gives us an answer one way or the other. And so we just think sometimes that God is there, and these wonderful attributes of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness, we can just rabbit them off, but it's very valuable even to this day. And then there's this great, great understanding of peace. Peace is what God still gives us. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. But then he says something greater than that. My peace I give to you. The wonderful old hymn, how many of you remember this? Master, the tempest is raging. The billows are tossing high. A grave in the angry deep, and then the winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace be still. Peace be still. And it's not just peace, it's God's peace. His peace he gives to us. Incredible. Marjorie Holmes wrote this, and some parents remember this, even grandparents. Marjorie Holmes, talking about patience, says, perhaps the hardest lesson to learn in life is patience. To wait unperturbed while the child in the high chair does everything with his food except eat it. Remember that? Or to quietly hear out the tales and complaints of a long-winded neighbor. Be patient. Breathe deeply. And even though you may not want to be there, God has put you here. Remember that our loving God is patient with us. And to thank him for the wonderful gift he gives each one of us. Patience. And kindness. The Apostle Peter learned kindness from listening, learning, and watching Jesus. So Peter wrote in his second letter, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance to godliness, and to godliness brotherly and sisterly kindness, love. It's all part of it together. And then goodness. We know God is good. A baby's laughter and giggle is so good. A deep and relaxing sleep is good. Laughter with a loved one is good. A meal with friends is good. Enjoying your occupation is good. And always remembering that every good and perfect gift is from our God. And he is very good. And then there's faithfulness. Revelation 2:10, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Many of us remember Corrie ten Boom wrote, in faithfulness lies eternal security. Faithfulness is love's loyalty. Gentleness. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. The scripture is continually reminding us of who Jesus is. 1 Peter 1, preparing our minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. And I ask you to just for maybe 20 or 30 seconds, think about this. Won't it be amazing when we see Jesus face to face? So if you would, I'm not trying to be overly dramatic, but if you would you just close your eyes for some 30 seconds? You're standing there, and for the first time, you're looking into the face of Jesus. Just go ahead. So in conclusion, for you know it's not worth perishable things such as silver or gold that we have been redeemed from the empty way of life by our forefathers, but by the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without spot and blemish, revealed to us in these last days for our sake. For we have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. And now, my brothers and sisters, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the Holy Spirit be with you always, to the end of your life, which will never end, seeing him face to face. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved worldwide. Scripture quotations marked ESV are from the ESV Bible, the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. You can learn more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.